Kieran Kennedy, welcome to KBOO.
Hi, Bill. Thank you for having me on.
Kieran Kennedy is Deputy Director of Legislative and Administrative Advocacy at the Sierra Club, and she knows her way around Washington, D.C. and the Congress. She's also an opinion contributor to The Hill, a newspaper that covers the federal government. It's quite important in Washington circles. Everybody reads it. Her most recent piece was titled Biden's Budget Tackles Climate Crisis Across Nearly Every Federal Agency. We'll be discussing Biden's early budget proposals. The article was about the early proposals and also his environmental programs as they developed since then and the Build Back Better budget proposal. We'll conclude the interview discussing the struggle now in Congress, and including considerable differences between progressive and centrist Democrats, and of course there's Joe Manchin. So Kieran Kennedy, first give us a sense and evaluate Biden's environmental policies and his evolution.
Thanks for asking, Bill. So I want to start off by saying, you know, he campaigned on having a very strong environmental agenda, realizing that, and he has said this, that the environment is important if we're going to protect families and people. And so from day one, from the time he was on the campaign and he released his environmental plan then, to what we saw happen in his first 100 days where he worked on getting us back into the Paris Agreement, where he immediately undid many EOs that stop climate progress, and then where he signed EOs uplifting things like conserving 30% of lands by 2030 and the importance of clean energy and reestablishing aspects of environmental justice that had been taken for granted over the last 4 years. He kind of came out the gate really strong on climate policy. So I wouldn't say that there's an evolution. What I would say is that we have that trajectory, and then within the first 6 months, so after his 90 days, he solidifies it by releasing a federal budget that is a government of the whole approach to climate through its request for agency funding. And then that's culminated with understanding that he needs to get infrastructure done. And what's the best way to deal with infrastructure is by also having investments in climate done while fixing our roads and bridges. And I think the pandemic has really expressed the necessary need that infrastructure is greater than just roads and bridges. And I think that natural disasters have proven that we need these key investments now that take climate into account in order to be able to both address the climate crisis and properly deal with the needs of those who are going to be the most impacted and those who are looking for jobs. So why not have them centered around climate?
This is Bill Resnick for the Old Mole Hour on KBOO Radio, Portland, Oregon, talking to Kieran Kennedy, the Deputy Director of Legislative and Administrative Advocacy at the Sierra Club. She's a registered lobbyist with the Sierra Club, knows her way around Washington, D.C. and the Congress. We've just discussed the Biden budget, his environmental programs, and the scope of them as they've developed. So, Kieran Kennedy, the goals are enormous, and it's necessary to meet them if we're going to maintain a habitable planet. And the time frames are very short, unfortunately, say the climate scientists, that great strides have to be made within the next 10 years, they said 2 years ago. Time is ticking away. So the needs are great. The ambitions are huge. The question then becomes with regard to Biden's efforts. And certainly there's enormous resources that Biden is trying to put behind climate action. But the proposals are one thing. Getting them enacted, as you pointed out, that's something else. So tell us about the various battles now on Capitol Hill.
You know, Bill, right now on Capitol Hill, we are in a once-in-a-generation opportunity to really affect not just investments in climate, but creating family-sustaining wage jobs, right? Making sure children have access to universal pre-K, making sure that everybody has access to broadband internet, just so many things. And so that's what Build Back Better is about. I mean, it's like literally the epitome of the framework that the president ran off of. And, you know, when he came in the office, he did two bills, one not in reconciliation, the other one during reconciliation to deal with COVID. And now this is the opportunity to address all the other things that are super, super necessary. And we're also saying, like, the breeding of a civilian conservation or climate corps, right, which would provide hundreds of thousands of jobs to folks through the corps network to be able to work on climate and do some really cool resiliency work within their communities. And we're not talking about the old adage of green jobs, everyone will have a green job. We're talking about real jobs already created that do things like road maintenance, trail rehabilitation, wildlife conservation. That's just to name a few. And that's for folks who are connected to more rural areas. Then there's work like that also internally in the more interior urban areas, like replanting trees in urban areas to help decrease the urban heat island effect and help with water filtration and flood mitigation. Like, all of those things are super important. But it's got an uphill battle. And I'll explain to you this uphill battle. In the House, everyone is aligned with the idea that we need $3.5 trillion to get this done. The argument or the fight is over how we pay for it and or making sure that it happens. And so what we saw happen was in the Senate, the Republicans and Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema wanted to do a smaller package that dealt with just the crumbling infrastructure in our country, which is fine. They created the bipartisan infrastructure package for that. That passed the Senate and is currently sitting in the House. And so the fight that we have right now is what progressives are saying is we have no problem funding the $1 trillion for roads and bridges. But we don't want to fund that and not fund the critical infrastructure needs we have while dealing with climate. And those were all the things that dropped out of that bipartisan deal. And so progressives are saying, hey, once you vote on the reconciliation bill, which is Build Back Better, we are happy to go ahead and vote for the bipartisan infrastructure deal. And then the moderates in the House are like, okay, that's great. The 3.5 makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable. So how are we going to pay for it? And the pay fors are something that Senator Manchin has also talked about as being important. And so they're doing a dance. The House is definitely set to, all things looking forward, to vote on the infrastructure package within the next 2 weeks and then send it over to the Senate, and then it'll be in the Senate's court. If the Senate can pass that bill, then the House will go ahead and immediately follow up and pass the bipartisan infrastructure deal. And the thing is that we need both to move forward because both bills carry much of the needs that we need to get things done in this country. And we only have this opportunity, this year, this time to do that. So that's the tension. The tension is progressives want to make sure we get it done, and the moderates are not necessarily in the same place. They would be okay with just the bipartisan bill in many cases. But we can't tackle climate with just the bipartisan bill. We need Build Back Better.
This is Cable Radio, me, Bill Resnick, talking to Karen Kennedy, the Deputy Director of Legislative Administrative Advocacy at Sierra Club. Karen, I hope next time we can go deeper into the differences between the progressives and the moderate Democrats and Republicans. Karen Kennedy, thank you. Keep up the good work, and we can talk again.
Thank you so much, Bill. It was lovely being on your show today.
Hi, folks, our cable listeners and members, and all of you folks who say, yes, I should contribute to that feisty, countercultural, democratically run leftist radio station. Now's the time to do it. So you listeners have just heard me, Bill Resnick, interviewing Corinne Kennedy, who is deputy chief of the Sierra Club's advisory unit on her lobbying, which strongly supports enactment by Congress of the Biden administration's Build Back Better plan and their House budget proposals. In fact, I support them, too. Biden has been a super surprise on matters of the economy and social welfare. His $3.5 trillion package is a wish list of left liberal priorities, money for universal pre-K, for universal access to high-speed broadband, for a civic conservation corps, for dental care for children, for public health agencies, lead paint abatement, all worthy, needed, doable. Anybody who wants to lift the burden of overwork, precariousness, and anxiety from much of this country's working class would support them too. This can be done and the package supported, but the inequality and downward spiral for so many is not the only crisis facing the Biden administration. Another grave list of looms, even larger, that issue, what to do about climate change and the future of humanity. It's surely the greatest test of the Biden administration. That's because climate science gives us 10 years to begin reducing greenhouse gas emissions, warning that if we fail in this, a process of continuous warming will take hold that's irresistible, irreversible, such that no matter what we do, the warming will continue and ultimately will leave us as toast. Our planet could become uninhabitable for humans, as has happened already in parts of Africa, the Middle East, and China, and the U.S. Southeast is on the way to that list. In this life or death issue, the Biden program, its proposals, they're all over the place, because two forces with fundamentally different strategies are contesting them, and the battle is now fierce. They're fighting for the authority and monies to now stop accelerating climate change. Here's how the New York Times describes this struggle. The nation is facing once-in-a-generation choices about how energy ought to be delivered to homes, businesses, and electric cars, decisions that could shape the course of climate change and determine how the United States copes with wildfires, heat waves, and other extreme weather linked to global warming. The Times goes on. On one side, large electric utilities and President Biden want to build the thousands of miles of power lines to move electricity created by distant wind turbines and solar farms to cities and suburbs. The Times acknowledges such integration would strengthen the control that the utility industry and Wall Street have over the grid. Indeed, have over our whole economy, I might add. The Times then describes the other side, that many environmental organizations and community groups, Biden's allies on most issues, are pushing for greater investment in rooftop solar panels, batteries, local wind turbines. They argue that solar panels, batteries, and all other local energy sources should be emphasized because they would be more resilient and could be built more quickly. Amen. But this point in the Times is understated. The entirety of the corporate program, not just the big grid, but also carbon capture and sequestration, safe, they say, nuclear power, oh boy, and geoengineering, all of it exists only on the drawing board. It's inherently unsafe, all of them, and cannot be proven safe and durable. Even the conduits, the wires, or the super high voltage grids cannot be guaranteed as to durability because they have not yet been built. Let me note the obvious. This community system, confederated with other communities in the region, would not need a fabulous, expensive, continent-spanning grid, for they produce the power near the point of use. All of the elements of the local system have been shown to have high durability. They use off-the-shelf technology, ordinary but highly sophisticated and developed wind turbines and especially solar panels. They can be built, and the installations can be built and quickly repaired by any hometown contractor and the millions of their workers across the United States. Any contractor who can build a kitchen or addition to a house can put up a relatively large solar installation. We need to build the electricity transmission and distribution system for the grid of the future and not that of the past. That was said by Howard Lerner, Executive Director of the Environmental Law and Policy Center. Solar energy plus storage, it is transformative to the electric system, the electric sector, as wireless services were to the telecommunications sector. Unfortunately, no big company, no big business, surely no bank or investor-owned utility will pay this Mr. Lerner any attention or understand if they did, in fact, read that. They understand that the control of energy is the one sure way that they can retain their overall system of endless growth, all controlled from the top, to provide great wealth and power to the few. The fight for decentralized community power confederated across regions can be won. Biden's early proposals, they read like a corporate or a bank or an investor-owned utility dream come true, including the big continent-spanning grid and the safe nukes and the carbon capture. But in the interim, left forces organized and applied pressure. And his Biden's Build Back Better proposal also promises funds for the left's proposed electric system of public centralized networks of confederated cities with electricity generation near the point of use. There are many cities, many in California and across the world, who've already built out the rudiments of a 100% locally produced sun and wind generation system. On particularly good days now, Southern California sun and wind production has satisfied the region's needs for electricity, and the excess is stored or sold to other states. With additional federal monies, we should be able to demonstrate what engineering studies have found, that every region in this country has enough sun and wind potential to make possible the publicly owned, democratically run, resilient sun and wind systems across the country. We can stop climate warming and guarantee a better future. The Biden administration can't be pushed. Everyone who wants to preserve a habitable planet for our children and future generations, they need to join in the struggle. This is Bill Resnick for the Old Mole Variety Hour.